This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The secret of how to tell what economic policy might look like in a new presidential administration. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. There's news today that the car service Uber is giving up on competing head-to-head in China with its competition there. There's news that China-based Didi Tuxing is buying Uber's China operations for as much as $35 billion. But Uber will now own a slice of Didi, and Uber's CEO will get a spot on the Chinese company's board. Celia Hatton is the Asia-Pacific regional editor for our editorial partners at the BBC. Good morning, Celia.
Good morning.
So Uber, super rich, cash rich, why might they throw in the towel like this in China?
Well, basically, they were up against an incredibly dominant local rival, Didi Chuxing, which by most accounts owned about between 80 and 90% of this massive Chinese market. And it just looked like Uber was just burning through too much cash. Its investors were pushing it to get out of China. And I think it realized it was, you know, Didi Chuxing was too much of a competitor.
And if we talk about Didi Tuxing a little bit here, and they've attracted money from, for instance, Apple.
That's right. They got $1 billion in an investment from Apple earlier this year. Yeah, Didi Chuxing, it's actually itself the product of a merger in 2015. It used to be two much smaller companies, Didi Dachua and Kuaidi Dachua. These were two very popular ride-hailing apps, and they were just very quick to market. They were operating in China before Uber came in, and Uber just simply really couldn't catch up. It really couldn't, you know, spark the imaginations of many young people who are glued to their phones in China.
Now, we should point out that Uber has not given up on the idea of profits from China. They have a stake in all this.
Yeah, that's right. So Uber investors will get about a 6%, a 5.79% stake in the newly merged company, which is equivalent to about an almost 18% economic stake in Didi Chuxing. Now, you know, people I've spoken to are pointing out that, you know, this actually is quite a good deal for Uber. They'll probably profit quite a bit from this. There's, you know, slated to make millions, if not billions, from this deal in the future. And many people are pointing to a similar deal in the past in which Yahoo got a stake in the online platform Alibaba, and Yahoo financially did very well out of that deal. Many people are saying this deal is an equivalent.
It was one of the main things that Yahoo ended up with, was that stake in Alibaba. Celia Hatton at the BBC, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's do the live numbers. The 100 share index in London is down 0.1%. The DAX in Frankfurt is up almost 0.2%. The Dow future is up 12 points, less than 0.1%. The S&P future is up slightly. The NASDAQ future is flat. Crude oil in New York is down another 1% to just over $41 a barrel. This week, the Hillary Clinton campaign is expected to announce its economic transition team. Not the people who will run economic policy should she win, but the people who will pick those people. If you want to know more precisely where policy would be pointed in a new Clinton administration, this economic transition team will be a vivid clue. Joining us is Felicia Wong, president and CEO of the Roosevelt Institute, a nonpartisan think tank which is pushing for the next administration, whoever wins, to transform the economic narrative in America. She's someone watching very closely for details this week of this economic transition team.
I think it's really important that anybody named to that transition team understand that their job is to look for great candidates who have experience in promoting the public interest and not in promoting narrow corporate or narrow financial interests. The first order of business is to make sure we have jobs, make sure we have higher wages, and make sure that Wall Street and large companies are held accountable.
And I know Hillary Clinton, of course, has pledged to bring diversity to, for instance, her cabinet. What about a group like the Economic Transition Team?
Well, it's critically important that her economic appointments be diverse. We like to say her appointment should look like America. That means we need to see women, we need to see people of color, we need to see young people, we need to see people from all 50 states, not just from the Amtrak corridor, in the kinds of jobs that make economic decisions.
The Roosevelt Institute has some ideas about how this moment in which the old administration fades out, the new administration hits the ground, hopefully running. What, time to reboot economic policy?
We need to tell ourselves the right story about the economy we're living in today. What that really means is we need to understand that three important things about the economy need to go together. The first thing, which you heard Mrs. Clinton talk a lot about in her speech, is the need for better jobs, higher wages, better benefits. But you need to be able to connect that to a need to rebalance power at the top. If you want to be able to pay for those higher wages, if you want to be able to pay for those better, greater benefits, you need to be able to squeeze what economists call rents out of the top in order to do so.
Now, on that part two, the rebalancing power at the top, is that really, you're talking about tax policy?
We're talking in part about tax policy. We're talking in part about stronger regulation. But we need to think a lot more about breaking up these kinds of super firms, or at least making sure that they work for their workers and they work for consumers.
And then there's a third piece.
The third piece is investment in public goods. People talk a lot about infrastructure. That sounds kind of wonky, but it's really important. And it's not just about public money invested in roads and bridges. It's also about public money invested in transportation and in broadband and the things that are going to help low-income people get to their jobs, find jobs, keep jobs. You have to think about all those things together.
All right. Felicia Wong, President and CEO of the Roosevelt Institute. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're also watching to see who Donald Trump's campaign might name for its economic transition team. The time frame for that isn't clear. The overall Trump transition is being run by New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, along with former Trump Chief of Staff Rich Bagger, Founder-in-Chief Bill Palatucci, and Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.